As I write this, 15,000 acres of the Boundary Waters canoe area is on fire, and high winds and continued dry conditions promise to expand the fire, perhaps even doubling it. It's awful for the people living anywhere near there. Smoke is hanging over the area as far from the fire as Grand Marais, and houses and cabins are in jeopardy. People camping up there are having to cut their vacations short, and this kind of intense, rapidly expanding fire is dangerous for the people fighting it and working to evacuate the area. So naturally, the news focus right now is on the human costs and dangers of the fire. There hasn't been time yet to assess the cost to birds and other animals, and so far the news media hasn't been talking about the loss of animal life. My own thoughts are focused on the baby birds, nestling warblers and thrushes and other birds that are already suffering the aftermath of Katrina and the other storms in the Gulf last year during fall migration and languishing in the hot, dry conditions during this breeding season. The single factor most important to breeding success for most little songbirds is rainfall. Abundant rain can be a nuisance for people, but provides ideal conditions for insects to proliferate, feeding the masses of baby birds and maximizing reproduction. Reading about the fire, I'm also thinking about all the little frogs and flying squirrels and other critters that are dying. Fire is a perfectly natural event, but that does not make it kind or gentle. The long view about populations recovering and rebirth of habitat is important to keep in mind, but that doesn't mean suffering and dying animals and human beings are somehow less real and tragic. Eerily, this summer's heat, the first half of 2006 was the warmest on record for the United States, coincides with the theater release of the movie An Inconvenient Truth. Liberals and conservatives alike are growing more concerned about global warming, and among the well-supported facts presented in the movie is an ominous trend that rainfall is occurring more and more in large, dangerous storm systems rather than gentle soaking rains, even as drought conditions spread over larger areas of North America. And the heat is drawing more and more moisture out of the soil, stressing plants that are not adapted to such conditions. Meanwhile, there are plants perfectly adapted to these conditions. The Duluth News Tribune coverage of the fire includes accounts from eyewitnesses of jack pine cones exploding open. Jack pines are specifically adapted to fire. Their cones stay tightly closed for years or even decades until exposed to the extreme temperatures associated with fire. Their seeds stay alive, tightly held in these cones until a fire pops them open. Then the seeds germinate on soil rich with nutrient-laden ash and no competition for the sun. Jack pines are what is called a pioneer species, among the first to take over after a catastrophic fire. Other trees that survive in sunlight with no canopy, such as aspen, will also thrive in the coming years. Meanwhile, these trees need to grow large and develop a shading canopy before maple, basswood, and other vegetation that requires shadier, cooler conditions to germinate and grow can get a toehold. This kind of succession is a wonderful natural process, but our tree composition will surely change as trees that thrive in warm, dry weather crowd out the birches and other northern species that depend on winter deep freezes and less parched growing seasons. And the birds that depend on our northern trees will retreat farther and farther north until there's nowhere left for them to go. A lot of people are saying we need to wait for more information before we can act on the threat of global warming. Ironically, a huge percentage of them just happened to be allied politically with the people who said we needed to invade Iraq because of a possible, undocumented, and ultimately false threat of weapons of mass destruction. In both cases, we should be paying attention to the people with the most detailed knowledge and understanding of the issues rather than those with a political agenda. Like the conditions arising out of the 1999 Boundary Waters blowdown, political conditions in more and more parts of the world are growing ever more explosive. We humans have always suffered mightily because of weather and fire and war. Like birds and frogs and other wildlife, our populations ultimately recover and thrive. But for those of us who value individual life as well as populations, there is tragedy in catastrophic losses. Attention must be paid. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.